Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I want to attempt to preach on the Passover. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:3 that the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And that is talking about the Old Testament scripture. We have all these different types of how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and none is clearer than the Passover. Now, this is when Israel was leaving Egypt. It's what's known as the Exodus, when they left Egypt. Now, 430 years before this took place, it was prophesied to Abraham that it would take place. We read in Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 12, "And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he, the Lord, said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they'll come out with great substance." Now this was prophesied by God 430 years before it took place. And then in Exodus chapter 3, God tells Moses, after he had told him he was going to go into Pharaoh and demand that the children of Israel be released, God says this to Moses, "And I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and will smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I'll do in the midst thereof, and afterward he'll let you go," after these 10 plagues. Now, the Lord could have brought them out without doing anything, just by his almighty power. He didn't have to do all this, but he had a purpose. He said in Exodus chapter 12, "Against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment." And these plagues all represent some aspect of the false religion of Egypt that he was destroying. Now, in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Now, Moses knows who the Lord is, and he knows that Pharaoh is getting ready to find out exactly who the Lord is. But if you go on reading in that chapter, Pharaoh said, "The reason you're asking for this is because you're too idle. You've got too much time on your hands, or you wouldn't be asking for something like this." So he started making them make bricks without straw. They had to go gather their own straw in order to make bricks, and they were expected to make the same amount of bricks, which was impossible. And when they couldn't do it, the leaders were beaten by the Egyptians, and they said, "Why are you doing this? We can't do this." And they saw that they were in a worse condition now than they had been. And they were very upset with Moses and Aaron and said, "Why have you got us into this position to where we look so bad before Pharaoh?" They were very upset. So Moses goes in again to Pharaoh and Aaron, and he throws his staff down before Pharaoh to show the power that was in the staff because of the Lord, and it turned into a snake. But the magicians of Israel, or of Egypt, they threw their staffs down as well, and they turned into snakes. They could duplicate what Moses had done. And what this lets us know is there's great signs and wonders in false religion. You don't think there's not. But Moses' staff swallowed up the snakes of the Egyptians, and they were given some idea of what was to come. Now, the first plague was water turned into blood. Remember, the Lord's going to do all 10 of these plagues. He didn't have to, but he's going to execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. All of their false notions and their false ideas are going to be shown as powerless through these plagues. The first plague, the Nile River and all of its tributaries were turned to blood. And the fish died and the land stank and people didn't have anything to drink. But Pharaoh hardened his heart. So the plague after that was the plague of frogs. Frogs came in and they covered the land. They were in your home. They were in your bedroom. They were in your oven. Everywhere you looked, there was frogs. Can you imagine how horrible that would have been? And Pharaoh said, would you have those frogs removed? And the frogs died and they put them in piles. But after that, Pharaoh's heart hardened again. And then the third plague was the dust of the land was turned to lice. Lice covered every man, woman, boy, and girl in Egypt. Lice covered the livestock and the whatever beast there was. And listen to what the Egyptians, magicians, had to say about this. They said in chapter 18, verse 19, then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They couldn't duplicate this, making something alive that had been dust. They couldn't duplicate this. They said, this is the finger of God. This is the hand of God doing this. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them. Now, I think it's interesting. 19 times during the course of this story, we read of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. 15 times it says God hardened his heart. 4 times it says he hardened his own heart. You might think, well, which is it? Both. God hardened his heart. As a matter of fact, the Lord said, the scripture saith to Pharaoh, this is in Romans 9, a quotation from this story, the scripture saith to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy, on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. God is in absolute sovereign control, and he is hardening Pharaoh's heart. And all the Lord has to do to harden my heart or your heart is nothing. Just leave us alone, and we will become hard-hearted. That's all it takes. And so Pharaoh continues to harden his heart. The Lord hardened his heart. He was a puppet in the Lord's hand, doing the Lord's will, although he didn't realize it. But God hardened his heart once again. Now, the fourth plague was swarms of flies. After the lice had left, God sent swarms of flies. Now, I don't know of anything that I dislike as far as creatures much more than flies. I can't stand them. Can you imagine having swarms of flies covering you? It would make existence so miserable. And Pharaoh asked that the flies might be removed, and when they were, he hardened his heart once again. And then the fifth plague was all the livestock was diseased and died. But yet when you went into Israel, in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were, none of their livestock died. And the swarms of flies weren't there. And the lice weren't there. They were only with the Egyptians. They saw how the Lord made a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And then there was the plague of boils, and even the magicians were covered with these boils, the Egyptian magicians, and everybody was just covered with boils. What a horrible disease, and what they asked for deliverance from that. And as soon as there was deliverance, Pharaoh's heart was hardened again. And the next judgment was balls of hail mingled with fire coming down from heaven, and they were warned. Don't be out in the field. If you do, you'll be killed. And everybody that was outdoors, when this mighty thunderings and hail and fire came down, and many people were killed, and Pharaoh was afraid at this time. As a matter of fact, he says in verse 27 of chapter 9, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I've sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it's enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I'll let you go, and you shall stay no longer. He was scared to death at this time. So Moses prayed to the Lord. The hail stopped, the thunder ceased, and he hardened his heart again. And the next plague was that of the locusts. The land became dark with the locusts, and they ate every green thing in the land, and there was absolutely nothing left to eat. Egypt had been destroyed, and Pharaoh hardened his heart again. And then the land was turned to darkness, darkness that might be felt. For 3 days, everybody was afraid to move because you could not see, utter darkness. But it was light in the land of Goshen, because once again, the Lord had put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Now, these 9 plagues take place to set up this last plague, if you want to call it that. God said, I'm going to pass through the land, and I'm going to destroy the firstborn in every house. Every house. No exceptions. But I'm going to put a difference between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. And this is where we get the story of the Passover lamb. Now, let me begin reading in verse 27 of chapter 10. And I want to read several verses here. These are very important. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. This is after the darkness. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for the day that thou seest me, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he'll let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Now speak now in the ears of the people, the children of Israel, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of his neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon the throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that's behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as were none like it, nor shall be like it any more, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. Against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down to me and bow themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And now we're given the instructions concerning the Passover. Now let me remind you what I said at the beginning of this message. The gospel is how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. The New Testament had not been completed when Paul made that statement. And if you want to understand the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was doing, you can only understand through the Old Testament Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures, people look at the Old Testament quite often, it's not important, not as important as the New Testament, the Old Bible. But the New Testament cannot possibly be understood apart from the Old Testament Scriptures and these types that were given. So I'm going to begin reading in chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now the calendar was changed for the Passover. You see, life begins, time begins, when a man or woman is made to understand the Passover. That's how significant this is. The calendar was changed for this. Now he says in verse 3, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb." Now, we read in Revelation 13:8 of the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And we read that in eternity future, when the church is in heaven, they're going to be singing this song, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Take every man a lamb." Abel understood something about this when he came into God's presence. He brought the blood of a lamb, a sacrificial lamb, knowing that in and of myself I deserve death. And the only way I can approach God's presence is through the coming sacrifice, the coming Lamb of God. He understood the gospel. And you know, the scripture says that God had respect to Abel and to his offering. But to Cain, who brought the fruit of his own works, he had no respect and no regard. I think of Abraham. He is instructed by God to kill his own son, take him up and offer him up as a burnt offering. And Abraham obeyed God. You see, he believed God, and he believed that God would raise his son up from the dead. We know that from Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, when he says, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Hebrews 11 tells us he fully expected God to raise his son from the dead because God had made a promise that the Messiah was going to come through that boy, and he believed God. Now, we know that God provided a substitutionary ram that was offered up in the room instead of Isaac. You can read about that in Genesis 22, but there's a question Isaac asks that's so poignant. As they're going up Mount Moriah, he says to his father, not knowing that he was supposed to be the sacrifice, "Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where is a lamb? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham looked at his son and said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." You see, there's nothing you and I could provide that God would accept. It's all sinful, every bit of it. But God provides everything he requires. God will provide a lamb. You can't provide a sacrifice God would accept, but God does. God provides for himself. You see, for God to do something for me or you, he had to do something for himself. He had to make a way to be just and yet justify the ungodly. He had to have a way for his law to be honored, sin to be punished, and yet he can show mercy. He had to do these things for himself before he could do anything for me or you. And God provides himself as the lamb for the burnt offering. So, "Take every man a lamb, speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall you make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it into the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." Now let's consider this lamb. This lamb had to be spotless and without blemish, speaking of the perfect life and the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in order for Christ to do anything for me or you, he had to be without sin. If he had sin, he couldn't save you any more than I could save you if he had sin. But he, the Son of God, kept God's law perfectly and worked out a perfect righteousness before God's holy law. He never sinned. He's without blemish and without spot. And what were they to do with that lamb? Kill it and eat it. Now, why did the Lord Jesus Christ die if he was sinless? Because the sins of his people were put in him, on him. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. I don't understand what all that means, but I know the sins of the elect became His sin so that He became guilty of the commission of those sins. And the wrath of God came down upon Him, and He took the sinner's place. He took what I deserve, and that perfect righteousness that He worked out is given to me. It's called substitution. That's what this Passover lamb is all about. And what were they to do? Kill it. That's Christ dying. Eat it. This is our necessary food. I live off the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my only hope at all times, constantly. Now, we read in chapter 12, verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I'll execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now let me ask you a few questions that I hope you'll give careful consideration to. First, what was God looking for? He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." That's the one thing He was looking for. He didn't say, "When I see your faith." He didn't say, "When I see your tears." He didn't say, "When I see your sorrow over your sin and your intention to never commit that sin again." He didn't say, "When I see your sincerity." He didn't say, "When I see your doctrinal understanding." He didn't say, "When I see your baptism or your works in any way." He said, "When I see the blood." That's the one thing God was looking for, the blood of the Lamb. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Now, here's my second question. First, we see the one thing God was looking for was blood. Here's the second question. Who had to see it? He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Not when you see it, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is for sure. When God sees the blood, He shows mercy. Now, you'll remember He told the children of Israel to take that lamb that was slain, strike the blood on the lintel and the doorpost. Go in the house and don't come out. And when God passed through the land, He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Now, I want you to consider this question. We have this house, or many houses really, with the blood over the door, and God passed through in mercy. Now, was there any house? And let me back on that. He passed through in judgment because the reason He passed by that house was because there was already blood shed. It was that lamb represented the substitutionary Lamb of God. And when God passed by, it's because the firstborn had died in the substitute lamb. And that's why He passed by. Now, here's the question I want you to consider real carefully. Let's think about the people in those houses with the blood over the door. Let's say someone that very day had committed horrible sins and horrible crimes and had done things that would just make you shiver. If he was in a house with that blood over the door, was he safe? My dear friend, the answer is yes. Everybody in the house with the blood over the door was saved without any exception. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ actually does put away all sin. And everybody in the house with the blood over the door was safe and secure. Let me ask another question. Let's say there's somebody outside of the house. He's not in the house with the blood over the door, but he's a very nice person, very moral, pays his bill, treats his family well, treats his neighbors well, is a good citizen, just a fine person. If he was outside of the house with the blood over the door, was he safe? The answer is no. He or the firstborn in his family would be destroyed, because really all men are sinners. All men are guilty. He may look good on the outside, but he's not on the inside. And God looks on the heart. And God knows what everybody is. And that man who we might have judged to be a very good man, no, he would be judged if he was not in the house with the blood over the door. Now, I think of this. There were some people who had assurance while they were in that house. The Lord's not going to touch me in judgment. I'm in the house with the blood over the door. And they felt such assurance and safety. And somebody else might have been a little bit afraid. What if he gets me anyway? Thoughts of unbelief and fear. Well, was the person with assurance any more secure than the person who feared? No, their security was in the house, not in one's assurance or one's lack thereof. The person who had dismay and fear wasn't any less saved than the one who had complete assurance, because their assurance was in the blood. Now, this is the gospel. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, that's the gospel. That's how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And they were given one thing to do that night. Stay in the house. Stay in the house. Don't go outside. Stay in the house. If you go outside, you're not under the protection. Now, what do I learn from that? Oh, I simply want to be found in Christ at all times. I don't want to ever be viewed independently of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to stay in the house and not try to approach God on my work, by my works or by my attitude or by anything about me. I simply want to be just like Paul when he said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. When God comes looking for me, there's only one place I want to be found, in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all that God sees is Christ. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh, I simply want to be found in Him. May God make that so for me and for you. Now, there is no gospel apart from an understanding of the Passover. When God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What a comforting thought. When the Lord sees the blood of His Son, He passes over because of that blood and doesn't destroy it. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Neipert, praying God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.